Senator Dale Fowler, Dale, an opportunity just presented itself to us, and I hope I'm going to kind of start off an awkward way, if you don't mind, Dale. Okay.
Sure.
Some people say, you know, believe that restaurants are being closed as of tomorrow with this rollback, Region 5. Restaurants are not being closed. It's delivery and carry out, but, you know, a lot of people saying, well, you can't say that restaurant, you know, yeah, they're open. It's how they're serving that's the difference.
That's correct, Tom. It's this mitigation is, you know, it's serious stuff. And, you know, I hate it for these restaurants because, you know, they can only do outdoor dining. Well, we know how that's going to go this time of year. But they do have carry out and delivery, curbside options, drive up, of course. But, you know, a lot of the restaurants don't have that luxury, Tom. So that's, you know, I feel for these restaurants. I don't think it's right. You know, that they have to go through this, and people are going to be laid off again. That's the reason we have to do everything we can to get lifted out of this mitigation so we can keep our economy moving forward.
All right, let's take a look at one of the messages I received just minutes ago whenever I announced that you were joining us on the air. Gary from Marion sent me this note on the American Monument text line saying, "Picking on residents and bars is just picking on the low-hanging fruit. They can't close churches by legal decisions, workplaces by economics, schools by public outcry, and casinos by tax revenue. So this is what we get. Ask the senator to recommend everyone get a test to lower our positivity rate. We, unlike other areas, don't go for tests without symptoms. Show us the data that our governor cites." We're getting, and then I can't use that last word. But you understand the sentiment here, Dale.
Of course. You know, Tom, you know, there's no doubt that we need to do everything we can to stop the spread of COVID-19. But an uneven statewide response to the pandemic is, you know, it's put our region at a disadvantage in the fight. The same metrics that apply to more urban areas may not be appropriate in more rural corners of Illinois. And as we know, Illinois is not like the rest of the state, and blanket mitigations raise serious concerns for many in my region and our region, the region of Region 5. And that's the reason why we're working hard with the Illinois Department of Public Health, our local public health departments, to increase our drive-up testing, mobile testing. There's four coming up here in the next few days. There's more being scheduled as we speak. And this is an overall initiative, Tom, to not only, give everybody an opportunity to be tested, and if they are positive, they can go into isolation and quarantine to help slow the spread, of course, but also to, you know, get our negative rates to where they need to be so we can lift this mitigation and we can keep our economy moving forward. So it's twofold. It's for everyone's protection, and it's also to get accurate data so we can get these mitigations lifted and keep our economy moving forward and keep our restaurants open for business and our people employed.
All right. Now, the just after the announcement was made by the governor on Monday in Southern Illinois at the Jackson County Health Department, Senator Paul Shimp issued this statement: "I continue to be frustrated by Governor Pritzker's misguided focus on arbitrary positive rate thresholds that are neither meaningful nor reliable as an assessment of the actual local situation. These mitigations, which will close businesses and destroy livelihoods, should only be used when the hospitalization rates and ICU bed capacity data clearly shows it is absolutely necessary." Is that the metric, Dale, that you would agree with that should be used when it comes to rollbacks as begin tomorrow in Region 5?
I agree, Tom, and I agree with Senator Shimp. In our rural areas, you know, there is less access to testing, which impacts positivity rates and other metrics. Not a single region has been mitigated due to their hospitalization metrics. All have been on positivity rates. And that's why we, you know, working closely, as I mentioned earlier, working closely with our public health departments, Illinois Department of Public Health, for the mobile testing. There's more that I know of. There's just in the next few days, there's going to be one. I think it's October the 23rd. You're working with Southern 7 Health Department. There's going to be one in Olin, 24th. There's going to be one in El Dorado, 25th, Vienna. 24th, I believe, is going to be Vienna. 25th, Caro. I believe next week there's one planned for Williamson County. I know I was speaking with the Egyptian Health Department late last night. They're planning on getting three or four more scheduled here in the next couple weeks, next week or so. so we can get the accurate data and the metrics that we need to have to keep everyone safe and also get our metrics in order so we can keep our economy open and moving forward and keep everybody working and our businesses thriving.
All right. Whenever I've shared that you were coming on the air this morning, people had questions, and one that I think I should have anticipated and didn't. Sure, I'd love to be tested. How much? I'm afraid of how much it's going to cost me.
These are free. These are free. These are free. These are free mobile community testing through locations through the local health departments, Tom. These are free mobile testing. This is all free. And we're going to be, you can obviously call your local health departments. You can call my office. You can go to my Facebook page, my website. We're doing everything we can to partner with our health departments. So we can, for everyone's safety. And again, this is twofold. This is for everyone's safety. There are a lot of people could be out there. Just like the health department told me last night, there could be a lot of people out there asymptomatic that have it, have the COVID-19. And if they do, then they need to go into isolation or quarantine. And that's just part of the method and mythology of helping, slow the spread of this COVID so we can, we can get a vaccine hopefully coming up soon and slow it down and slow our metrics down and, keep our economy moving forward.
All right. Here's the thing that I don't understand, and I'm hoping you can help me. Neither one of us are doctors, at which one point I wish both of us were at this point. So I'm reading the story about Governor Pritzker's appearance on CNN State of the Union. And he says the reason for the rise is partially President Trump bad modeling behavior. And then the next sentence is the reason why we have higher numbers is because we have higher testing. And on the day he said that, this is a rough memory here now, 4,000 plus positive cases, 79,500, I think, tests, 79,000 tests. So if the reason why we're seeing higher numbers is because we're testing more, how does testing more drop the number?
Well, as I mentioned also, Tom, rural areas, there's been less access. So, yes, obviously, if you test more, especially those that may be asymptomatic, and again, just like you said, we're not doctors here, and don't ever want to pretend to be. All I'm doing is conveying the messages that I'm getting from our local health departments that, yes, there will be more positives through this mobile testing, which is part of the initiative here because some, especially those asymptomatic, could be carrying the pandemic, the COVID-19. But by the same token, it also should influx our negative numbers. So hopefully, our negative numbers, obviously, we hope and pray, our negative numbers are going to be much higher than our positive numbers,
okay,
which could help us lift our mitigation.
Interesting because Illinois State Representative Terry Bryant took exception with it on a different point, saying that, the other regions were given more time to prepare before they were asked to shut down. She issued a press release earlier in the week to that effect and saying basically, we take serious offense that Governor Pritzker has chosen to treat the citizens of Southern Illinois that live in Region 5 differently than the people of Metro East. She goes on to say, at the urging of his Democratic compatriots in the General Assembly, they gave the Metro East region 2 weeks to prepare for the mitigation. In Southern Illinois Region 5, where only Republicans are elected and state representatives, state senators, our businesses have been given just 48 hours to shut down in person. Well, at the same time, I've got a message from one of our people saying, why does the rollback take effect days after it's announced? Things like this, if it's so dangerous, why doesn't the change happen immediately? This announcement happened on Monday and becomes active on Thursday, and going on to say, no wonder I can't take these Democrats seriously. So you've got two things in people's minds here. What are your thoughts, Senator?
Well, originally, my understanding is when some of the other regions throughout the state, and I believe as of yesterday, four of the 11 are now in mitigation standards, and more, from what I understand, more to be announced probably this week or first of next week. So these regions or mitigations are going to continue to increase. And originally, my understanding is that there wasn't a whole lot of heads up originally as they started implementing mitigation standards. So there was a lot of complaining going on about that, and especially from some of us Southern Illinois legislators. So they did give us a little bit of heads up. A week ago last Sunday, we had a call with Dr. Ezeke in the Illinois Department of Public Health and Administration, Governor's Administration, giving us a warning. And there were several mayors on the call, legislators on the call, public health representatives on the call. So there was a little bit more heads up this time than there has been in the past. Okay. Is the way I see it, Tom.
Yeah, and I do. I remember talking to Patrick Windhorst on Monday, a week ago, this past Monday, and that call had taken place, I believe, on a Sunday afternoon. He had told me about it Monday morning.
It was a Sunday call, yeah. Right. It was, and so they did, I think they learned from the fact of, you know, they gave us the warning, a little bit of heads up, and then, obviously the bomb dropped
This week. I'm just a couple of notes that have come in. This is interesting because I don't think this person's necessarily thinking about gaming machines, but I see what they're trying to make the point here. Are you still able to go into a bar and play the gaming machines? My answer is probably yes at this point, because bars and restaurants aren't shut down. It's how they achieve their goals of selling merchandise or service, whether it's outside. You can't have bar stools, but I guess those services are available inside as you come and go.
Right. Exactly. Right.
You've heard this too, Dale. Some people think that restaurants are closed as of tomorrow. They're not. I think there's a little misunderstanding in the marketplace.
Right. And understand, this is not a law. This is a mitigation. And, they've got a lot of tough decisions to make here. But the main thing is, we got to do everything we can to support our local economy. We were getting back on track. We are back on track. As we've talked about numerous times, I'm so excited about the future of Southern Illinois, especially the 59th district that we have here. I'm so excited about the opportunities that lie ahead. And that's the reason why we have to continue to do everything we can. I applaud everyone's efforts for wearing the mask and the social distancing and washing the hands and, trying to stay home when you can, not going to events if you don't have to, because this is how it's spreading. And, Tom, this is striking home. I think probably all of us know, I'd be willing to say almost all of us know, of you, me, you, your listening audience, know someone that either currently has COVID or has COVID or is in quarantine, has been in quarantine because they've been exposed. 2 months ago, we couldn't say this. And, it's striking home to me. I have a family member that's struggling with it as we speak. And it's, it's been an incredible eye-opener here that everyone just continue, and we're getting ready to get into cold season. We're getting ready to get into flu season. I encourage, as the public health departments do, encourage everyone to get their flu shots that can. And please, just do everything you can so we can get this behind us and we can continue to move our economy forward like we have been. Because I am so excited about the future that we have for Southern Illinois. You see it going on now, even though we're fighting this pandemic. But we have to support our local economy. We have to shop Southern Illinois more than we ever have. And we're going to be fine. We're going to get through this. And I pray every day, every morning when I wake up and when I go to bed at night for everyone's safety. We're losing lives, and people are seeing that. They're hearing about it, and we've got to do our due diligence.
All right. I want to talk about another subject, one that has aggravated me to no end, and you've listened enough to probably hear me being aggravated by it, the Cures money. Now, I spoke to Brad Cole last week. It seemed to me, from what he was telling me, and you start looking at the details, that we're starting to see some movement on the part of the DCEO making this money more readily available without quite the hoops and stringent rules for accepting it.
Yes, Tom, and I'm glad you brought that up because this is good news. There was $250 million allocated through the Cures Act for basically, I'm just going to say I-80 South, okay, $250 million for municipalities and local governments that have been affected by the pandemic of COVID-19. Well, unfortunately, talking with a lot of our mayors and village presidents and counties, they were having a hard time coming up. They were all allocated a lot. There was an allotment of certain dollars per municipality or per form of local government. So what happened is a lot of these municipalities didn't have what they could call, because of the original qualifications for the Cures Act money, masks or whatever, they couldn't come up really with enough receipts. And loss of revenue within their local form of government was not a qualifying factor for the Cures Act. Well, That's been an argument that I've had with DCO, with the governor's administration, about the fact that, you know, and our mayor's calling says, you know, this money is laying on the table, but we can't go get it because we can't justify, because it doesn't show loss of revenues and such don't qualify. So now, thankfully, just in the last couple of days, working with DCO, and a lot of us working with DCO, they are now going to go back and allow our forms of government that have, emergency first responders, you know, fire departments, police departments, EMS, whatever, be able to go back for payroll reimbursement going back to March 1, going back, and this is going to be qualifying dollars that now these forms of government can go back and get, this payroll reimbursement, which is a great opportunity. I was going through the numbers last night after I received from DCO my forms of local government within my district, the 59th district. I currently have 64 forms of local government that have not been able to submit information for their allotment from this CARES Act money. And that equates to approximately $2.5 million within my district. Now, these forms, so my staff, we're on the phones nonstop since I got this email on Monday, informing them to please go get this money, because now they can go back and get payroll reimbursement for first responder expenses, and that's $2.5 million that's lying here to be gotten right here in my district. So we're working hard to ensure everyone and help them go get these dollars that are there. So I applaud DCEO for lifting some of the requirements and some of the restrictions on this CARES Act money so that we can go get it.
All right. And it's a $200 million total when you look at the allotment, according to the schedule that I have in my hand, which is now a few weeks old. Dale, we're in the problem of running out of time, as you and I often are in that issue. So I want to go at this from a broader standpoint. This morning, the governor is out on the road, and in particular, I think sometime this morning at a business, talking about these big grants, the business interruption grants. Now, we've talked about CARES money. I know there's some big grants out, but before we close today, Senator Dale Fowler, could you tell us and our community leaders that are listening at this time what other monies are available for them and their businesses?
Yes, a couple things. You know, there's a lot of money laying on the table, just like we just got done discussing the CARES Act money that we've got to go get. We're going to make that happen. But this is the second round of the business interruption grants. It's $200 and a little over $200 million to the businesses experiencing extreme hardship, obviously as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. And these are forms of grants up to $150,000. This is the second round. So the businesses that have been impacted and that have not received PPP or other forms of emergency aid can now go back into this second round and apply through DCO for these interruption grants. And if anyone has any questions, any thoughts or concerns, or needs any guidance, any help, please call my office, call DCO. This money's laying there for us to go get, just like the CARES Act money. These business interruption grants, it's there. Let's go get it to these businesses that have been impacted. And, it's there for us to take. So let's take advantage of it. Uh-huh. And then also, Tom, I want to mention real quickly, if I may, the statewide broadband expansion. You know, this is the second round of statewide broadband expansion. There's $50 million of the 400, I believe it's around $400 million that was in the FY20 capital bill, and this is a second round of $50 million for broadband expansion. So we're going to be going after that. We have to prioritize broadband expansion for effective remote learning that we desperately need for our schools and telehealth and such as that. So, you know, there's funds out there that we're going to be working tirelessly to go get.
All right. Saw Hamilton County Phone Company, $20 million in grants, another $20 million loan. A bunch of people texted me from up in the area who listen online and were saying, man, you all see these guys are laying fiber cable all over the place.
Yes.
Now, before I let you go, last night you made a post yesterday saying in the last year, the Illinois Democratic legislators have been indicted on charges ranging from bribery to ghost payrolling and federal tax evasion. Another is under investigation as part of what could be the largest bribery scheme in Illinois state government history. In that time, not a single piece of anti-corruption legislation has been signed into law. If you, like me, believe Illinois needs reforms to stop corruption, sign the petition below. What is this petition you have, Dale?
Right. This is just another form of ethics reform, Tom. It's been rumored that when we go into veto session next month, that ethics reform may be a topic. We hope we go into veto session. With this pandemic, who knows what's going to happen? You saw what happened in our spring session. You know, there was very little legislation accomplished because they felt like they had to get us out of the state capitol. So we have to continue to stress the fact that we need ethics reform in state government. Everybody knows it. Everybody sees it. And thankfully, I'm so appreciative that our colleagues in both the House and Senate on the opposite side of the aisle agree that there needs to be reform, and we're going to do everything we can to stress the fact that ethics reform has to be a top priority.
Senator Dale Fowler. Dale, I'm sorry I kept you so long, but I appreciate the information.
Hey, real quick, Tom, I just want to say I'm going to be in Brookport today with Jerry Walmeck and his amazing team of public servants with Labor 773, Brookport distributing food. We're going to be in Goreville tomorrow. We're going to be somewhere every day. We've been doing this for months. We're going to be somewhere every day to ensure people have food to eat. I'm working with my foundation's working with Tri-State Food Bank. We're going to be having mobile food pantries. We're going to be out there working our tails off to make sure there's food provided for those that need it.